Well, Randy, if you'd like to come out to the front here. Now, Randy Marshall, we've been hearing about for 4 years. Now we can put a face to the name. Welcome, Randy. Welcome.
Thank you.
Sonny Salford. I don't know what's happened today, but it's normally sort of tropical around here. I can't understand this. Fun? Yeah, indeed. So it's great to have you with us, Randy, and you're going to tell us all about Ukraine and how it started and everything. Bless you. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
This is your water here, by the way.
Oh, okay, yeah, if I need that.
Thank you.
It's a delight to be with you here. Actually, I have enjoyed sunny Salford. It's not because of the outside weather, but the wonderful people that I've met. I've seen the brightness of Jesus in the faces of people I've been with. John and Joy, I get to stay with them at their house, and Steve, and that's been great. And Sandra and Kath and Joe have also been a blessing to me. We had a great time tramping through the fields of, I guess, near Downham yesterday, and that was a lot of fun. It was a good cultural experience for me. We don't usually tramp through other people's fields in America, but I think that's really cool that that's a possibility here. We like to go hiking up in the mountains where I'm from in Colorado, and but we have big public areas there. For you, the fields are, well, they're beautiful, except that I came with a lot of mud on my boots, and it was work for John this morning helping me get those cleaned up, so that was great. But anyway, I've enjoyed being here and glad to finally get to see where Sandra and Steve and Kath go to worship, and I enjoyed your worship this morning. They've been a real blessing. Thank you for sending them to our camps these past, 5 years, I guess. Sandra's a veteran, been at every camp every year, and has really been used of God in a powerful way. I wanted to share with you, too, thanks for your partnership with us in helping a young girl named Ruslana. You can go to the first slide there. Ruslana, I don't know, some of you may have remembered a couple years ago, she was a young Ukrainian girl, 12 at the time, now she's 14. This is her current picture of her. She was struggling with a blood problem. I think her platelet count, I don't know if you know what platelets are, I'm not sure exactly what they do, but anyway, they were really low. They need to have like a number of 100% of them or whatever, and she was at 15% in her number of platelets, which is way too low. And they were saying, you shouldn't even be alive. You shouldn't be walking at all. And so she went and was in the hospital for an extended period. At that point, I sent out prayer, and I think your church responded and said, can we help financially? And because she was needing some special medication. And you all generously gave it, made it possible for her to get some medication they were trying to help to boost her platelet count. Well, I guess it's some kind of extended process. The medication doesn't work immediately. So she's still kind of not, her platelet count is still quite low. But she is doing a lot better and is now at home with her mom and her sister and father. And she's homeschooling. She can't go out a lot because if she gets cut, then and she starts to bleed, then it won't stop. I guess the platelets must help in clotting or something. And so she has to be really careful. But anyway, thank you for your prayers and financial support, and you can continue to pray for her. The doctors say it could be 5 or even 10 years before the medication really starts to help, which seems strange to me, but in any case, I guess it's a really long-term process. So keep praying. Anyway, I just wanted to share briefly a little bit. You can go to the next black spot, and I have a few things to say first. Just want to share kind of my story, how I got into missions, before I begin to talk a little bit about Ukraine. My wife and I actually met at the university at a university in Colorado, and I was studying to be a journalist, a newspaper reporter. And that was my first job. I worked about 5 years as a newspaper reporter there in Colorado. And my wife was working as a music teacher. And we had gotten to the point we had purchased a home and we're just kind of living the what they call the American dream and enjoying life. And but we were going to church, and one day we happened to be at church, and a man came and shared. This was in 1993. He said, you know, there's some great opportunities in Russia right now. the door, you know, communism has just fallen, and there's a real spiritual vacuum. And we need people to go and to share God there. And he said, there's some really neat things happening. Why don't you come after service and you can watch a video to see what types of things that we're doing there. And we looked at my wife and we looked at each other and said, let's go and see that. That sounds interesting. So we went and sat and watched this video. It's just a 3-minute video. It happened to be a recruitment video. I didn't realize that at the time. And we watched this video, and at the end, it's like we both looked at each other and said, let's go. God had just so called both of us at the same time, and we really had a strong desire to go. So we ended up selling our house and quitting our jobs and raising the funds, and in 6 months, we were already in Russia. It was, at that time, just a year program. And we were to work with school teachers mainly and parents of kids from school with Bible studies and teaching Christian ethics and morals. But we fell in love with the work there. So we stayed for the full length of the program, which was 2.5 years. And then it was up. And we came back. We thought, well, we're done, God. That's it. That's our mission. Now we're back into the American dream. And it turns out that we weren't any good for the American dream anymore. I got back my job at the newspaper, and I didn't enjoy it anymore. We were missing too much what we were doing there, and the chance to, you know, be involved sharing the gospel with Russians. And so within, 6 or 8 months, we were back as career missionaries with OMS International, working again, but this time more in church planting. Well, we were in a city, you can go in the first slide now. We're in a city called Yaroslavl, Russia, which is just northeast of Moscow. A beautiful city. Here I'm taking a picture from the center of the, out over the city. Next slide. And you can see Yaroslavl is just northeast of Moscow, about 4.5 hours by train, maybe 150, 180 miles or so. And we were there for 7 years, actually, ministering. And part of my job, I had to travel quite often to Estonia. If you can see up there circled the little Baltic country of Estonia. And we were traveling there quite often, just for short visits, to visit some of the OMS work there. This turned out in the fall of, would have been fall of 2002, we had to take a trip to Estonia for about 5 days. So I took Shelley and the family along. We got on the train in Moscow and traveled to Tallinn, Estonia. And at the border, about 5 o'clock in the morning, we stopped at the Russian-Estonian border, and you know, they woke us up, and you have to check passports and stamp, you know, put the passport control stamp and all of that. And they did that, and it all went fairly easily. And so then we laid down, and we're going to sleep again. But then about 5 or 10 minutes later, they bang on the door, and we have to open up, and they ask again to look at our passports, and they start asking questions about our visas and registration and all kinds of things. This was the Russian side of the border. And they did that for, you know, they kept coming back, you know, every 10 or 15 minutes and asking more questions and delayed the train more than 30 or 45 minutes just for us. And ended up finally just demanding that we give up our visas. And so they took our visas away and sent us out of the country. And that's the last time we've set foot in Russia. And we were just going to Estonia for 5 days. We had a bag of clothes is about all we had for 5 days. And everything... We had apartments of all our things was left in Russia, and all of our ministry, of course. We had, you know, college students we were working with, and things going on was left. And, you know, I don't know, Shelley and I really, after we came back to Russia the second time, were saying, we're here for life, God, unless you call us somewhere else. This is where we want to be. And all of a sudden it was taken away, and we were in shock. And I don't know. It's just for a few days. We're not sure what to do, but we had lots of people praying. And then we decided, well, we'll try again to see if we can get a visa. Maybe it was just some kind of weird mistake. And so we began to pray and begin that process. But we ended up being in Estonia. Instead of 5 days, we were there for a month and a half while we were waiting for that process to take place. And but God was there with us, and people were praying. But I can remember we were struggling just, you know, not only with the loss of Russia. We were struggling with, okay, here we are in Estonia for a month and a half, and we only have stuff for 5 days, and now we're having to buy all these things, You know, now we don't have, you know, stuff where that we're used to. It happened to be right around, it was close to Christmas time. And we love Christmas. And I love to decorate for Christmas. I don't know if you all enjoy that or not, but we like to put up trees and all that. But we realized we didn't have any decorations and nothing to celebrate in that way. So we were a little bit discouraged about that. And I think we may have prayed about it a little bit, but, I don't remember exactly. But I can remember the very next day after we discussed that issue, we were living in an apartment up on the third floor. It looked out over a city park, a big city park, big bay window. It was really beautiful. And the city of Tallinn, where we were staying, put up a huge pine Christmas tree decorated in lights right directly across from our window. And we called that our Christmas tree from God, that he was providing for us Christmas. But I can remember as well, Shelley was battling because we didn't have any of the, cookbooks or spices or even toys and things for the boys, because we had one that was only 6 months at the time, our youngest at the time, and our oldest was, I think, 8 or 7. And we didn't have any of the things to entertain them. And I can remember her being quite frustrated with that one day, just not, getting discouraged. And so we just took an extended time in prayer that evening and praying, God, help us to be thankful for what you have given us and thankful in the midst of this situation. And it was neat the next morning as she woke up. She went and standing in the shower, and she could just feel within her the joy, supernatural joy pouring out of her. It wasn't because she did anything. It's because God came and met her. She just had so much, she had to sing, start singing a song she had never sung, or she hadn't sung in a long time anyway. It was a kid's song. You have been so good to me, in spite of what you know of me. And she was just really touched by God. Well, I can remember as well, for my own part, we were trying to, like I said, get new visas. And I had heard that there were new visa application forms to Russia. And there were two new questions on there. One was, have you ever been denied a visa to Russia? And have you ever had one taken away? And I thought, wow, if that's the form now, then probably we're not going to get back into Russia. And so I said, I was just hopeful that Estonia, that's a small country. Maybe they're behind the times. Maybe they don't have the new forms yet. I mean, we can still use the old forms or whatever. I was just praying, God, help that to be the case. And so I went to, the day that I went to get the forms, I went to the Russian embassy there in Estonia and gathered it. It was a two-page document, and I began to read through, looking for those two questions. First page, everything's okay. The next page, and I got to the last two questions, and there they were. And when I read those questions, it was like immediately my heart dropped. And I thought, oh, we've lost Russia. And but at that point, that's when God met me, and He placed in my heart such a joy in the midst of that sorrow that I had to start singing praise songs. It just was spilling out, and I'd never had that happen before—a bittersweet kind of joy. But God, people were praying, and God was carrying us through. I think of the poem "Footprints." You've probably heard that with Jesus carrying the person on the beach, and the sets of footprints there. And I felt like at that point, that was God carrying me through that situation. Well, we ended up never going back to Russia. We still haven't been there. That's been 5 years ago. And we came back to the States and spent about several months searching at different options and ended up choosing to go to Ukraine. There were some opportunities there. And so we made that move 6 months later to Kiev. You can move to the next slide. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed this slide. It's Tallinn, Estonia. Go on to the next one. So here is Kyiv, where we live, right there in the center of the country, capital. And thankfully, our friends, Russian friends, were able to pack up our apartment and all our things in Russia and ship it down to us on the train. So it actually arrived in Kyiv before we did. And we even got our dirty laundry 6 months later. We enjoyed being in Kyiv now. It's a beautiful city, big city, about 3 million people. And we have a chance to work with college students. Go ahead and move to the next slide. You can see here Kyiv is quite beautiful with the Dnieper River running through, a lot of high-rise apartment buildings. Next slide. here's the, those buildings. These are basically the kind that we live in, just kind of the block houses. But, you know, they're starting to develop some new designs now that aren't so Soviet-looking. Next slide. You can see that Ukraine really has a long Christian history, if you know your church history, from 1,000 years or more. They've had Christianity. But, you know, 70 years of communism really stifled, you know, Christianity, and a lot of people now will call themselves atheists. Or also they may say that, well, we're Christian, but, you know, it doesn't affect their daily lives. It's just because I was born in Ukraine, and that's supposedly a Christian country. I imagine here in England it's the same thing. You have a lot of people that say, oh, I was born in England, we're a Christian country, so I'm a Christian. It's the way we are in the U.S. as well. But in any case, next slide. Also, there's a lot of political unrest. You probably heard about the Orange Revolution several years ago. Even now, there's still, you know, fighting and a lot of problems, and a lot of people are disillusioned with the politics in the country. Next slide. You can see here, here's a college student that was involved in some of the protests a few years back. And I really see that these are the people that are the future of the country, the ones that are going to determine what Ukraine will be like in the years to come. And that's why we're excited to have the opportunity to work with this age group. We work with college students, reaching out to them. And hopeful that God can use us to help, you know, bring some of them to faith. And those will be the ones that will be the future leaders of the country determining its direction. Next slide. This is our ministry team. This is my wife and our three boys, Alex, Andrew, and Philip. They're 12, 10, and 6 now. And we work together, putting on, you know, all of our ministry events, and it's great. Next slide. This is kind of, I wanted to share a couple of verses that are kind of the, you know, the heart of our ministry, what we will base our ministry on. This verse that we're all familiar with, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And our desire, I guess, God has really been working on Shelley and I over the past 4 or 5 years about falling more deeply ourselves in love with God. As we do, as we fall more deeply in love with Him, we can better help others to fall in love. And that's our desire, is to help these college students fall in love with Him, learn who He is, see who He is, and fall in love with Him. So many of them see God, see Jesus really as just a painting on a cathedral ceiling. He's irrelevant to their daily life. They don't really interact with Him in a relational way. And for us, our desire is to help them see that now He wants to have a relationship with them and help them fall in love. And we do that also by showing love, loving our neighbors. We want to just love them and show them Christian love so that they can experience that. Next slide. Next slide. Yeah, and also as part of that, we want them to taste and see that the Lord is good. So we try to organize events where they can experience Christian fellowship, particularly our camps in the summertime that Sandra and Kath and Steve have been to. We try to create an atmosphere where they can experience Christian fellowship, where they can experience the Spirit of God and realize that, yeah, He's real. He's not just this painting. Next slide. Okay, so what we do is we'll rent a kind of a dormitory space at a campground just outside of Kyiv in a beautiful area called Pushovaritsa. And it's a great place. Next slide. And we'll spend 10 days together. We'll invite about 10 to 15 English-speaking Westerners. So we have Americans, Australians, people from England there. And we also, you can see, if you look close, you can see Sandra in this picture. So you see if you can find her. But in any case, we'll invite about 20 or so English-speaking Ukrainian college students. Spending 10 days together, playing games, having campfires, doing sporting events, activities. We'll teach American baseball, just different things like that. Plus, we'll also do spiritual activities, do Bible discussions in English, and watch a film about Jesus and discuss it. Have testimony sharing, worship singing, all those kinds of things. Next slide. Now you can see some of the outdoor games. Next slide. And we do skits and fun activities. Sandra may remember this, and Mark Welsh from our very first camp. Next slide. And, you know, we show them how to do s'mores. I don't know if you do s'mores here, but that's kind of an American thing over the campfire, marshmallows with chocolate and little crackers. Next slide. And Bible discussions, of course. Next one. And I think you know who this is. I didn't take time to put in pictures of Steve and Kat, but I have a few of them too. Okay, but next slide. John wanted to tell you a little story about one person from the camp. Her name is Vera. Actually, she is our very first convert. And way back, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, she came to an interview. I interview students to come to camp. And I interviewed her prior to camp. And she was fit all the criteria, and so I invited her to come. Well, just a week prior to camp beginning, she was walking along the street and decided she needed to cross the road. And so she began to cross the road, but all of a sudden she felt a hand grab her on the shoulder and pull her out of the road. And just at that moment, a car came whipping by. And she realized, wow, if I would have been standing there, I would have been hit probably and maybe killed or whatever, injured. And so she was really, you know, shocked but also thankful, and turns around to thank the person that had pulled her from the road. And there was no one there. No one even close. And so that really got her thinking, I wonder if that's God, you know. And she really, you know, was spiritually not that interested or not, you know, she wasn't a Christian. And but that got her to thinking a week before our English camp, where she would have a chance to experience Christian fellowship and see Jesus in reality. And so she came to camp ready and prepared. And at the camp then, God really worked in her heart, and she was saved. And so she's now become one of our key students in our ministry. We have different types of groups, English clubs and cell groups, and she's a key leader with those. She's active right now in a deeper level discipleship. We have her with about 5 students now. And our hope is that she will have an impact on some of her friends and others. Next slide. I want to share about a student that was saved this past summer at one of our camps. Actually, it was at our July camp. And her name is Sveta. And Sveta was, she's learning American baseball here in this picture. But she was another one that she probably would have said I was a Christian prior to coming to camp, but really it was one of those that it had no relevance to her daily life. She didn't go to church, she didn't pray, she didn't read the Bible. In fact, she said she pictured God as kind of distant and kind of mean, and you know, just someone you kind of had to try to please a little bit, and as long as you lived a good life, you were okay. And that was kind of her picture of God. She came to camp, and as she was in the midst of all that, you know, these Christians coming together and just having a great time, she began to understand that there's something more here. When she saw college students that are excited about Jesus, wanting to talk about Him and share in Bible discussions, and you know, even the worship singing really touched her heart, she became quite interested and actually made a decision to accept Lord Jesus. She realized that He was more than just that painting, but someone that really wanted a relationship with her. And she was saved. Now she has invited one of her friends to join, and we're going through discipleship together with her on a weekly basis. And it's great to see them growing in their faith. Go ahead. And I want to show just, before you move to the next slide, I want to show a brief video of our English camps so that you have a chance to kind of see what's involved, what they're like. Actually, we did one camp for youth, for teenagers, and this is I happened to make video from that. That's what this is showing a teenager camp. But all of our camps, other than this one, are for college students. So this is the activities are basically the same, but this is the one that I just happened to get together into video presentation form, so you can see what they're like. So go ahead. Guess we're having some technical difficulties. So we'll while he's working to get that settled out, I can move on. So these camps then are we'll usually have maybe I would say four or five of the students that participate in the camps usually each time that will actually mark and say that they have prayed to accept the Lord. And we'll have more than that, maybe 10 or more, that will say, yeah, I'm kind of interested in participating in follow-up with you in some way, maybe in English clubs or in Bible discussion or in something else. And so we'll invite them to get involved. Do you think you're ready? Going to give it a shot? Okay.
We do many fun things, and we enjoy very. We found many friends. We live here like a real big family.
What can I do?
Mostly I enjoyed the singing, because it's a worship song, because it's really good to have a relationship with God. It's a great stream of energy coming through your body.
What could I give?
I like this game very much, especially our movies, our discussions about Jesus, our songs about Jesus.
If I can sing, let my songs be full of His glory. If I can speak, let my words be full of His grace. If I should live or die, let me be found pursuing this way, one that alone satisfies.
Maybe has this camp helped you in any way?
Yeah, it helped me, and I changed a little about my views or something like this.
What about for if other Americans, if I show this to other Americans, what would you tell them? Why should they come?
To Ukraine, because it's showing other people how you can believe, how you can have a relationship with God, to show, not to learn them, to teach them, to show how is it good, how good is it.
I'm excited about how well this has gone, and
I think the team here has had a spiritual impact.
I think so. Yes, I can tell a major difference just from the first day we met them to today. It's just, I don't know, attitudes are all like better. Even ours, my attitude is better, and I think that maybe we've had a spiritual impact on them and they've had one on us too.
Treasure of Jesus.
Okay, that gives you a little flavor for what our English camps are like. They're a lot of fun and tiring, but a good tiring. And so after the camps, then, we'll offer weekly meetings. English clubs is one option that we'll offer. So this is after one of our English clubs, just a shot. You can move to the next slide. And you can see we usually sit down together and we'll drink tea. So we have a table loaded down with tea and other things. And have a lot of fun playing games, and we'll discuss different types of topics. You know, for example, we may debate abortion, or we may talk about Britney Spears and you know, what her life is like. Some, just any kind of topic that might be of interest to college students, and to get them speaking in English, practicing. That's what our whole goal is, to help them practice English. But then at the end, we'll usually have a Bible discussion, about 15 minutes or so. We'll talk about a passage that relates to whatever the earlier theme was. And for example, like I think this week we did Valentine's Day type games and activities. And then we had a, you know, talked about the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. And so that's an example. And it's a lot of fun. Okay, next slide. I'll go ahead to the next slide. And I'll share briefly about this girl in the middle. Her name is Tamara in the glasses. And she's been coming to our English club for several years and really enjoyed participating. But when she first came, she came pretty much, well, she's a really intelligent girl. She's a computer programmer. And so she has more of a scientific mind. And she came to the club and she enjoyed all the activities. But when we got to the Bible time, she would always start laughing whenever we started talking about the Bible, acting like this is all just made up stuff. It's a fairy tale. You know, she wouldn't speak it out that loudly, but she would kind of laugh under her breath, and we could tell that she was kind of, you know, she would almost distract from our meetings a little bit. So we almost were thinking, wow, why do you even come, you know, and participate? But it was interesting to see over the years as God began to soften her heart. And there was, at some point there was some kind of change, and she stopped laughing. She began to actually start participating in the discussion and began to express you know, even some good thoughts about God and the Bible. And until finally at one of a retreat that we had, she even expressed that, yeah, she'd made a decision to accept the Lord. So we're in the process of working with her and praying that God will, you know, draw her deeper into faith. Next slide. And then the next opportunity that we offer for students to become Christians that are more spiritually interested, we get them involved in our cell groups. Right now we have a meeting on Sunday, so it just recently got over. My wife is helping to lead that meeting. We have students that will come together and we'll spend time, you know, worshiping and discussing the Bible and praying for each other. Just basically, it's kind of like a small home church, and that's kind of what our vision is. Rather than establishing a big church with a building and all, is more to establish individual home churches. And to multiply those across Kiev. And maybe to bring them together occasionally for some kind of celebration or worship. But that's kind of what we're shooting towards. Next slide. I wanted to share with you about Tanya. This is a girl that I think it was Cass' partner at one of the camps. And she became a Christian several years ago. But she initially began coming to one of our English clubs. And she started to participate. And that first time she came, she enjoyed all the activities, and then we got to the Bible discussion time, and I think we were talking about loving your enemies, and I thought that would be a good controversial topic to get them to debate about. And she, for some reason, just really, when we got to that time, kind of shut down. She stopped participating. I sensed that maybe she wasn't interested, or she, you know, was feeling like, you know, she didn't want to participate. And so she left from the club that night, and I thought maybe that's the last we'll see of her, because she didn't seem to enjoy the biblical part. And then her mother called on the telephone later that evening and said, "Are you trying to brainwash my daughter?" and all that. She thought maybe we're, you know, some kind of strange cult or something. And you know, we were able to calm her down, I think, and help explain who we are, and you know, not that there's no pressure and all those kind of things. And so we thought, well, because of those two things, probably Tanya's not coming back. But she did, and she kept coming back. She was one of our most faithful, consistent ones. And that she even went to an English camp one summer. But she still didn't become a Christian. She just continued in the same path, but continued coming. Finally, at one retreat, halfway through the year, we had a weekend retreat with some of the students. And for some reason, the Spirit of God just came upon her in power. And she got really excited and really changed. And she began to want to share her faith with everybody. In fact, she's one of those that I probably would enjoy walking out on the street and passing out tracts. She also, I know with Shelley at camps often, when she's come to camp, she likes to pray. And so she would want to ask Shelley, "Can we go and pray for the other campers?" And she still now participates in our English clubs because she says, I want to help somehow reach some of these other students that are not Christians. So it's exciting to see how God has worked in her and changed her life. Let's go to the next slide. So we had our first baptism, would have been the spring of 2007, just before we went back to the U.S. for a home assignment, and had a couple of people that were baptized. It was exciting. Next slide. Oh, okay. This is our follow-up ministry. I'll let you watch a small video about that.
Our busiest day is like every week. Every Saturday, we have several meetings with different college students. And today we're going to have a discipleship meeting, as well as a cell group meeting, and a small English club. And we want to just invite you to share our day with us. And welcome to Kyiv. We look forward to spending the day with you.
I'm here because I love hanging out with Ren and Shelley, mm-hmm. and it's like my second home. And because of I'm still not a Christian. I don't believe in God at some point, but I still love to discuss those kind of things because they matter to me, mm-hmm. And it just they help discussing those things and kind of finding the truth. Mm-hmm. Helps you in real life.
Mm-hmm. Good. And I go there because it is just that, something that I really need, spiritually need. So if I miss one Sunday, that I, the next week I feel that something is wrong. So that I, like I didn't have breakfast this morning. So that if I don't have this, it is difficult to continue living the next week. So at the end we pray for each other, and I like this time too very much because I feel myself very, very, very good in this cell group because I am with people who understand me and I can share with them anything and they can pray for me. This is important, I think. God has anything worth boasting in except for your name. with God, I become more confident, more kind, kinder, yeah, and happier.
That's a little picture of our ministry in Kyiv, and we're just grateful for your partnership with us in that, for helping Sin Sandra and Kath and Steve to come. I wanted to just throw out that possibility. We have them every summer. In fact, there's two planned for this summer, and there might be someone that might be interested in joining, or maybe several someones, and we would love for you to come. It's a great experience. I know not only are the lives of the Ukrainian college students changed, but a lot of the people that come, their lives are changed as well. I know there are several, I've heard several stories of people that after coming to our camps, they get more excited about ministry and they go back to the States and get active and involved even more there in the States and probably here in England too. I don't know, I haven't talked with you guys, but at least a couple of Americans have shared that before with me. And so I would just challenge you to think and pray about that and see maybe if God might be calling you to come and participate in an opportunity like this. And if so, let me know after service, or maybe you could talk with Sandra or one of the others and they could give you some more details. And we'd love that. And if anyone's interested in keeping up with us through our prayer emails or whatever, let me know that too, and I can get you on our list. So thanks so much for letting me come and share. The dates of the camp? Yeah, we have July, it's going to be July 11th to 26th, I think. And I think it'll be from a Sunday to a Saturday, a two-week period. And then August 1st to 15th, I think. Maybe August 2nd. I think in America they leave on the 1st, and I think you all would just need to leave on the 2nd because you're closer. So, anyway. All right.
Thanks so much, Ronnie. That was excellent. So interesting, wasn't it?